Good evening, pod people, and welcome to another edition of Malice Intended. I am your host, Steve, and I'm here with my good friend, Ben.
Hello.
And my other good friend, Christina.
Hello.
So, we have a special episode today. We are going to talk about one Sidney Meacham. You guys know who that is?
I do.
Have you heard of him? Okay. Well, before I introduce him, let me ask you guys, when do you suffer from the worst road rage? What kind of situations, Ben?
Honestly, I like to obey the speed limit, and I don't do weird stuff when I'm driving. So for me, it's when someone's tailgating me. When someone else is impatient, then I get very angry.
You are a 55 and a 65 kind of guy. I've seen it.
I am.
Yeah. Christina?
When people do not let you over, they know that you're coming, and it drives me insane that, like, I'm getting on the highway, and this person is staying in the lane that I need to be in, but they're not going faster. So that drives me insane.
So, my wife tends to be very foul-mouthed when she's suffering from road rage. Oh, yeah, she's dropping F-bombs and, like, if, and she loves to talk to me on the phone on the way home from work. So, if it's a particularly bad day, I get an earful. So, what's your go-to phrase, Christina? What do you say when you're most pissed off at somebody next to you? You talk to them? Do you talk...
The best part is, and you guys are going to laugh at me because this is just how I am, but if it is a Toyota or a Honda or whatever, I'm like, all right, Buick, get out of my way. And I try not to, like, cuss it or anything, but I just call them by their car name. I know.
Wow.
It sounds really stupid. Hey, RAV4, get out of the way. But that's the only way that I can do it, because I'm not going to, like, go after an actual person. I'm just mad at the car at that point.
So no F-bombs, just you talk directly to the car, huh?
Oh, yeah. I know. I sound ridiculous.
Ben, what's your go-to? Somebody's riding up on you. They won't get off your bumper. You can see whether they've had their tonsils removed or not. They're that close to your back bumper. What are you going to? What are you saying?
I mean, I'm like, why you ride my ass, motherfucker? Why are you in such a fucking hurry? Like, I do cuss, but I used to brake check. However, now living in California, I'm smart enough to realize that some of these people will shoot me, so I don't do all that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think you have to be in California for that to be a concern. It is a scary world out there. Yeah, I don't know. I have some road rage. Christina, I'm on the opposite side of you. Like, I get most pissed off when people, like, get into a lane that is obviously, like, slowing down or, like, merging, and they try to fly over and get in front of, like, the next 10 cars, and I'm like, nope, nope, nope. I'm pulling up right on this guy's bumper, and I'm not letting you in. And I get angry with people that let those people in. Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I understand. Like, I don't know if I ever told you guys this story or not, but on my way to work one day, I switched lanes, and do you guys remember Everhearn?
Yes.
Okay, oh, yeah. So I'm on Everhearn, I'm going to work, and Everhearn, for our fans, is actually in Canton, Ohio. North Canton, Ohio, and I am actually, like, going straight. There are two lanes, so if you would like to get around me, you can. I was going the speed limit because I am a speed limit girl. I don't want to get pulled over. I don't want my insurance to go up, whatever. So I'm driving, and this guy all of a sudden is behind me. And he decides that I am going too slow. So he is on my ass to Whipple. And then I turn left on Whipple, and he also turns left on Whipple. And then he goes in front of me, flicks me off, and I'm like on my way to work or whatever. And so we get to Whipple and Munson, and he sees that I am actually going to be in front of him. If he is not in the left lane, I'm in the right lane. So he moves his car because he sees that it's going to be me, and starts flicking me off and like raising his hands and like being so angry. I'm turning right, and like I was terrified because the light was red and he actually cut in front of me just so that he could be a dick. And I was like, alright. And you know what? That messes with a person for the whole entire day.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how you guys feel, but like, as a very emotional woman, that messed with me all day. I was like, this guy was like out to get me.
Yeah, scary.
And, yeah, that shit stays with you.
Oh my god. And people don't realize it. They're just like, they're angry in the moment, and then they go about their day. But like, he fucked with me the whole entire day in my head.
Christina, you are absolutely right. That shit drives me crazy, and it stays with me all day long. When somebody messes with you, and you get people that are vengeful and petty assholes, and they will do that. They'll get into your lane just to fuck with you. They'll take a turn that they didn't even want to take just so they can be around you. And honestly, it's scary because you know, you see more and more videos of road rage incidents that lead to extreme violence. And that's where we introduce our main character, Sidney Meacham. I won't call him a hero because there's nothing heroic about anything that he's ever done in his entire life. But I shared with you guys that video of him in August. Now, so the video is in August, but it was just released by the Portland police, because it's a public record now. It's a matter of public record because it's been used in, or it's being used as evidence. But it's his own cameras. He's got this incredibly elaborate camera set up in his own car. And I've seen this. See, people have this. Connie, my wife, wants to get this set up in our cars, and I'm like, why? So they can watch us yell at our kids as we're, you know, to put their seatbelts on? Like, that doesn't, but there's cameras inside his car, there's cameras outside his car, there's like each vantage point behind him, to the side of him, and so like the video is cut professionally so that you can see everything he sees in like panels of video. But so the video starts with him on the highway, he's on the phone, and he immediately screams douchebag from his shirt to the way he tapers his beard to pretend like he has a chin line still, to the little chest tattoo that he has showing because he's three buttons unbuttoned. Like, this dude is not somebody that I would want to meet before anything happens. So the video starts with him on the phone, and he's screaming at I think it's his wife. Sounds like a woman on the phone, about how they've got the exits blocked because they have a couple of the downtown exits in Portland are blocked off by the Oregon Department of Transportation because they have a parade going on Main Street. And he loses his mind. He is screaming. He gets off the phone and screaming out the window, flicking them off, screaming F-bombs. And then all of a sudden, he just decides. And I don't know about you guys. Did you see his eyes in the video? Did they look like black shark eyes to you guys?
I mean, I didn't notice him look like black shark eyes. Yeah. I think you're being a bit judgmental of this poor man because he was just going to visit his mama.
Look, Ben, I realize that you notoriously keep 3 to 4 buttons unbuttoned on any button-up shirt that you wear. I know that you're only, you know, a dropped pencil away from a nip slip in public. But I don't think you need to rush to the defense of this D-bag.
All right? No, because no.
After he screams at ODOT, right, the Oregon Department of Transportation, he decides, I'm fucking taking this exit anyway. I don't care. And so he swerves over, and he gets up on the berm, right, on, like, there's the exit, and then there's a, like, a little incline of grass and dirt leading to kind of like a patch of bushes and trees, and he gets up on that berm in his Chevy Avalanche, is what he's driving, up on the berm, and squeezes past the trucks as you hear, see and hear, because that's the great thing, his cameras are professional, and so you see and hear the ODOT workers, like, hey, get your quit, and then he, you know, pulls out onto the street where they're just about to have a parade. And you guys have been to enough parades in your time. You know what it's like. The street's been clear for a while. You're walking around. You're not even looking for anyone coming. You know, there's street vendors around that, you know, little kids are walking. And he flies up into this scene. And immediately he almost swerves across the four lanes that would have had traffic on it into a group of bystanders that are waiting, and he stops, and then he pulls back out on the road, and he starts dodging in and out of people on the parade route. And again, you start hearing people screaming for, like, their lives a little bit. Now, luckily, no one is hurt. No one's hit. But a motorcycle police officer pulls up on him and tries to get him to pull over, right? And again, you're getting a view of his face in real time as he's going through this, and it is expressionless. And he leans out of the car and starts yelling at the motorcycle cop. He's like, I'm trying to get out of here! And the guy's like, pull over! Nothing. Speeds up, takes a couple turns, ends up at a red light, right? And at that red light, the motorcycle police officer pulls in behind him, and then a Suburban unmarked police car comes in from the left and gets in front of him on his, like, left front side, right? And he's sitting there at the left light, like, vaping. And he just looks at the car, doesn't say a word, and then just swerves around the traffic and takes off again. And he is flying through you know, residential areas and, you know, through parking lots, and the main video goes on for about 7 minutes. Now, the one thing that people have been really keying in on with this video, though, is the music that's playing in the background. Christina, you mentioned that. Do you know any of the music that's going on?
No, but it just kind of was like, all right, this is soothing music for a crazed maniac. Like, I mean, how does that even happen? It wasn't like Headbanger or like rage music. It was just kind of like, it was weird. Was it not?
It was really weird. Ben, did you hear the music?
I watched the video and I don't even remember the music, so it must not have been... It clearly wasn't death metal, or that would have stuck out.
Right. No, it definitely wasn't. I don't know who the singer was. I can find that out. But, like, the music was just not the same as the vibes that this guy was putting off.
So, apparently, originally, as he's driving, he's listening to a hip-hop artist named Yellow Wolf, right? And he's listening to Yellow Wolf's Till It's Gone when he enters the parade route. And I guess this guy is I think he's like an Atlanta-based rapper. But then, after he gets through the parade route, and when he's attempting to be pulled over by the SUV and the motorcycle cop, it turns to Morgan Wallen.
Okay, yeah.
You guys know who that is?
Mm-mm.
I do.
I don't know that at all. You listen to Morgan?
I do. But it's country.
Right. It's flattering. And it's not like you know, guns and bombs and go USA country. It's like mellow, soothing country, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're right. And like the craziest thing to me is this dude's demeanor the whole time. Because like after he goes off on that screaming tangent at ODOT, and when he decides to go up on the berm, right? The only other thing that you hear him say is you hear him yelling at the motorcycle police officer that he's like, I'm trying to get out of here. I'm trying to get out of here. As if that's a reason, a justifiable reason for what he's doing. But then that's it. Like, he's not talking to himself in the car. He's not making faces, like, that show any particular brand of emotion. Nothing. He's just vaping every once in a while and just driving around. I'm looking, you know. If I'm in that situation, or if you're in that situation, like, I'm talking to myself. I'm like, oh, God, they're going to catch me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, like, I'm freaking out, and my internal monologue is now external. And I tend to talk to myself in the car, though. Ben?
Yeah, I mean, like, I hear what you're saying, and I think you should be even more freaked out, because this dude who has all these videos of him driving, and then he's, like, not pulling over for the police, he doesn't have a license, and his car is, like, the title's not, it's not registered. Like, he's got all kinds of issues with being in a vehicle anyways. So, like, you would think he would be extra scared to get pulled over and would not be doing things that would make you definitely get pulled over. I'm wondering if he's on drugs.
Well, he's also talking to his mom. Because he
was that who's on the phone?
Probably.
That's what I'm assuming. But, like, he's going to meet his mom, and whoever he was talking to, I'm going to assume that it was his mother. He is telling, like, this exit is blocked off, this exit is blocked off, this exit is blocked off, and then that's when he was just kind of like, you know what, fuck it, fuck this exit that's blocked off, I'm just going to go through it. And then he starts cussing at, like, all the people that are working on the roads. And I'm sure that the reason why it was blocked off is because of the parade.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, if you've got all kinds of issues with the legality of your driving, wouldn't you try to avoid situations that might get you pulled over? And, like, it's weird.
So, let's talk about this guy. So, we're talking about what our responses would be, but that's because I don't think that any of us have ever had a warrant, and if we did, it was for a short period of time.
No.
Ben.
Never. I promise. And I do have my license, so driving isn't scary.
No, like, that's because, like, we have things we could lose if we got into anything even remotely serious as far as trouble goes. This guy doesn't seem to acknowledge that idea throughout the entirety of his life. So, first of all, from this incident, you know, you don't see it at the end. I didn't see a video where it showed it, but apparently after about 7 minutes of him trying to, evade everyone, and I guess the video itself, the whole video from, you know, the start of it to getting arrested is about 30 minutes long, but he is eventually arrested, and he is facing, like, 38 charges.
I saw that he was 38 charges. I'm wondering what they were. I know they said that one is, like, using a vehicle as a weapon, but it's like, that's why I wonder if there were, like, drugs or alcohol or what this guy's got going on, because how the fuck do you get 30? I mean, I get that what he did was crazy and horrible. I don't understand how 38 charges come.
Well, and I'm wondering if that's, like, 12 charges of reckless endangerment, right? Because they look back at the video, and there were 12 different people in the street that could have been hit by him.
Mm.
And they had the right of way, and he didn't.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It could be multiple charges of the same
charge multiple times. Yeah, gotcha.
Right. But it does include a felony charge of unlawful use of a weapon, which is the car, and then attempting to elude an officer. And so there are at least, like, two instances of him trying to elude an officer.
Mm.
You've got the motorcycle cop, and then he comes and finds him again, and then there's the SUV officer coming from a different direction, so that might be, you know, two different charges there. But, like you said, he doesn't have a license, the car is not insured, he is a mess. And, you know, I highlighted the fact that he looks like a douchebag from the start, right? But, like, he also looks like any guy that you might see on the road. Like, nothing stands out about this guy, and that, I think, is the scariest part. Like, he's driving a decent, you know, truck. He's got enough money, at least, for this, like, video setup. So what the, like, how the fuck is he going through life without these basic things like a driver's license, insurance on his car, right? Registration. The kinds of things that, like, that normal people take for granted. You know, but then you take a little further, and this guy's got a rap sheet. So, starting back in 1999, this guy has faced four different charges of, well, he's faced, in March 29th of 1999, he had a first-degree felony sodomy charge. On that same date, he was also charged with a first-degree rape charge. And then in May of 2016, he was found guilty again. He was convicted again of third-degree sodomy and then a third-degree misdemeanor of sex abuse, right? And so I tried to figure out what all of those are. Obviously, rape is rape, right?
Yeah, sodomy, I'm not sure.
Sodomy, like, is apparently, like, the forcing of a sexual act that is not, like... I don't know how they quantify all of these things, but they're all horrific. None of them are overstated.
Yeah, none of these are good.
Yeah.
And so he is a registered sex offender.
And he has been for 24 years, okay? This guy was born May 8, 1981, okay? So he's 3 years younger than us. He started having to register as a sex offender in 99. Us being Ben and I. I apologize, Christina. You are the baby of the group.
He is my age.
Yeah.
You
finally admitted your real age. Like, I think an episode or two ago, you said, like, you graduated 10 years after us or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm younger than the two of you. I just want to point that out right now for a lot of people.
Well, I think the picture on our podcast probably gives that away, but still. But he's been registering as a sex offender since he was 18 years old.
Good God.
Actually, in March of 99, that was before he turned 18. When he was 17 years old.
And
right.
He was charged with sodomy. And then in 2016, he got charged with sodomy, which was a felony 3, and sex abuse, also in 2016, which was charged as a number 3 misdemeanor. The first few in 99 was sodomy at one felony, and then
just the worst.
Yeah, at a 1. So I mean, this guy is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm like wondering, like, given everything that he did, like the stuff you were saying earlier is even more important. It's like this guy's got a car, like he's got this fancy like. System of video, right? Like, it's like, where does this dude even get money? This guy shouldn't even be employable.
I was trying to find out what his occupation was, because for me, I'm thinking, okay, you have all of these cameras in your car. Like, is it Uber? Is it one of the driving apps? Or is it, like, you are doing this to prove that you're innocent on some level?
I would think that Uber or any driving app would actually make you prove insurance and license.
Well, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but I actually drove for Uber.
And did you have to have those?
Well, you had to have, back in the day when I did it, you actually had to have, like, a newer car did do a background check on you, so I can't assume that they wouldn't do a background check now, but because everyone's looking from, like, employees, I could see Uber being like, you know what, that's fine that you have a 1995 Grand Am. If you want to pick people up, that's fine. Send us pictures. As long as you don't have holes in your seat, we're good. But that also could be wrong, because you can apply for it with one car, but then drive around with another. Yeah. And as long as you know the name of the person, then you can just be like, hey, it's me. I'm just using grandma's car.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no. Well, and he didn't even have... I don't that he was working for Uber because, you know, he's charged with driving without license, without insurance, and I don't see him faking that to get a job with Uber. You know what I mean? But you never know. You never know. I don't... it's hard to tell. But...
My guess is he's working somewhere under the table.
Looking this whole entire time we've been talking, and, like, I looked up career, I looked up job, like, this guy does not want to be found.
He's not on LinkedIn?
Right. So, I was right. He's facing a charge of second-degree attempted assault, 17 counts of unlawful use of a weapon, 15 counts of recklessly endangering another person, right? So that's 33 of the counts right there. And then reckless driving, attempt to assault a police officer. So at some point, and I don't know if they're counting the fact that he, like, was swerving near the guy on the motorcycle or that he didn't stop when the motorcycle got in front of him. I don't know if that's they're counting that, but if they are, good. But an attempt to elude police by motor vehicle, and then two counts of failing to perform the duties of a driver. I've never heard that law before. Mm. Failure to attempt to do the duties of a driver.
It's weird.
Yeah.
The only thing that I can think is that the duties of a driver is to obey the law. And so, I mean, he wasn't obeying the law, so there you go. That would kind of explain it, right?
I mean, yeah, that totally makes sense, but it just seems like a money grab, because, like, it's like, we're going to charge you with this because we get money for it, and then we're going to also, like, we're charging you with, like, speeding, and now we're going to charge you for not doing your duty as a driver not to speed, so now we can charge you twice, right? It just seems like a money grab.
But if you think about it, then he deserves to be charged.
Oh, no. I don't think this guy deserves, it should be, yes, this guy, I'm not sure why this guy's walking the street given all of the sexual assaults. But, yeah, I'm just saying, like, as far as just the basic premise that actually exists as a law, seems like a money grab.
It might be, like, a law that was instituted because, like, people would be doing things that were, like, you know, like, being a dick, but not necessarily breaking a law, you know what I mean? Like, you know, swerving inside of your lane and brake-checking people or whatever, and so it's, I guess maybe it's just a catch-all for, it's like, well, what if we have a guy who's a real dick and we want to charge him with something, but we can't because there's not a specific law.
And then this guy's done so much bad shit, they're probably like, throw the book at him, anything we can charge him with, we will.
Yeah, and I think that the police recognize the fact that this dude does not belong in society.
Yeah.
Like, or at the very least, if he is without a car, without any means of, like, transportation, because this is not somebody that we should trust with any machinery whatsoever.
I mean, not just without machinery. Like, the way I see it is, like, with a car, he will do this. Without a car, he's just going to go around, like, raping people. It's like, he's not safe either way.
Yeah. Now, those 38 charges... He was indicted by a grand jury in June for those. So, let's see. So, I don't know if he's still waiting on... And I think he was denied bail as well. So I believe that he's been in prison since the indictment.
Yeah, I did. June. I read that he's been in jail ever since that.
Okay, so I thought this stuff happened in August, but this event was June 10th of this year at 10:04 in the morning, and the parade was the floral parade, the Portland floral parade.
I like when you were talking about, you know, how we've all been to those kind of things. It's like the first thing I thought was like the Ribs Burn Off, right? Which has like those barricades, right? Could you imagine like
a, do it where you guys used to actually go?
Really?
Yeah, they don't do it downtown anymore. Downtown looks completely different from what it used to look like. Ribs Burn Off is actually, if they even still do it, the last time I went, it was actually at the fairgrounds.
Hmm. That'd be a good place to do it, but it takes away the whole fun of being downtown. Now, I know Canton's kind of, sorry for all the pod people that don't care about Canton, but our hometown, like, downtown used to be a shithole, and they've kind of made it into a really nice place. So, like, back in the day when they would shut it off the roads, and you got to be there for the Ribs Burn Off, it was kind of cool because you're in the middle of this shithole, but you're heavily protected by police, and it was cool, right?
Right, so now it is just a better version of a shithole.
It's a polished shithole.
Like, they use granite for the toilet instead of just concrete.
Nice.
But I'm telling you what, let me tell you a little story about how I used to be in the parade in Canton, Ohio for the Football Hall of Fame. Oh, yay, me.
Yeah.
And, were you a princess?
The reason, huh?
Were you a princess? A Hall of Fame princess?
I'm still a princess. But anyways, so why I'm going here is because Malice Intended was actually made for our friend Phil, who tragically passed away. And we love him to death, but I have to tell you about the fact that, like, speaking of parades, like, this would be a super huge nightmare for me if someone would have done this during the Football Hall of Fame parade. But instead, my nightmare was Jimbo and Phil at the very end of the parade, and I'm sure you both remember Phil's apartment, and them screaming and hollering at me on the float.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Sure, that was a hoot nanny.
Do you guys remember exact? I mean, he had, like, the prime time place for all of the Football Hall of Fame parades. And him and Jim.
Yeah, he was right.
Yeah, so. But I just wanted to put that shout out to Phil.
Yeah, I never stayed up long enough for the parade. I've been to many of those parties, but I'd always be passed out by then.
Oh, I'm sure. Because, I mean, I was not passed out by then because I had to be up by, like, 4 a.m. to be at the parade. And I only did it because of the place that I was working at the time. But, I mean, it was a good time. But having Jim and Phil there, you know, I don't know if I would call that a good time.
So, a couple more details that I was able to find out about one Sidney Meacham. The dash cam itself, right, they obtained that, obviously, when he was arrested June 10th, and the 30 minutes, right, they show, in the 30-minute recording shows three different angles, including front-facing, rear-viewing, and inside the truck's cab. In the video, Meacham can be seen leaving a home in southeast Portland, and he commits various traffic infractions, including speeding and running from several red lights while driving through southeast Portland toward downtown. Meacham becomes increasingly frustrated by heavy traffic while headed westbound on Interstate 84, right? So, even before any of this stuff, even before he gets to the exits and the traffic, dude is a menace, right? Like, just running a red light, right? Like, I've run an orange light before, right? When it's yellow and it's just about to turn red, or it's just turning red as I'm, like, sliding through it. But, like, actually running a red light, like, that shit scares the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't...
I've accidentally, too, and you feel like I almost died, right?
Right. The worst accident I've ever been in was because I accidentally ran a red light. You know, I was distracted by something. You know, I went through a red light and I got T-boned and, like, knocked over into a parking lot of a gas station. And I was driving a little Saturn at the time, and that scared the shit out of me. But so he receives a phone call, and you were right. It's his mommy on the phone. I thought it was his wife, but it was his mom. The funniest statement that they say from the call is he screams, "I'm on my way to the fucking Rose Garden!"
What?
Like, why are you so angry and in such a hurry to get to the Rose Garden? Like, what's going on there?
That's weird. I read that he was going to visit his mom. So weird.
Well, yeah, his mom was in the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
I feel like this whole him getting arrested on the way there might have saved her life. Because why is he so angry going to visit his mom? Like, what's happening, right?
Or, I mean, he was excited to see his mom, and he was in a hurry, and, like, every single exit that he was trying to get off the highway was blocked because of this, in his words, fucking parade!
I know what happened.
Yeah.
Mama was making that tuna casserole. He wanted some of that hella bad.
The other day.
Yeah, it is good. That says, during the same call, Meacham suggested he planned to meet his mother and the caller. So I guess the caller's not his mother.
Hmm.
I guess the caller, maybe the caller's his wife.
Do we know if he has a wife, though? Or are we just guessing he's married?
Guessing.
Yeah.
That's a dude who hits his wife, whether he has one or not.
I mean, yeah, given all of his past crimes, I mean, like, I'm not saying he couldn't have a wife. He probably very well does. He shouldn't have a wife.
I don't know. Somebody that leaves that many unbuttoned, or buttons unbuttoned, you know, is sure to attract a few chickadees, right, Ben?
You know what the funniest thing is? You keep, like, comparing him to me, and when I saw this dude, at first I thought he kind of looks like Steve.
Oh, is that what you thought?
I did, right?
That hurts a little bit. I have never trimmed my beard into that configuration. My hair has never been slicked back in that manner.
Okay.
And my eyes are full of emotion and soul, not dead and black.
Can we get your wife on the podcast for a second?
I don't know if would appreciate the language that she would use. Like I said, she can be very foul-mouthed when it comes to road rage incidents. So.
Mm.
Okay, gotcha.
But I just cooked her dinner, so I think you would get a positive affirmation from her. Yeah.
Nice.
Especially, I mean, and she likes me. Out of everyone on the podcast, she at least likes me, so...
Yes. Yes, she does. Yeah, you're talking to us on the microphone she sent you, so.
I know. I feel very, very special.
I just made ravioli for the kids and myself, and she was not interested in ravioli, so I made her a loaded baked potato.
That was nice. Very nice of you.
Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like a microwave potato, I mean a, you know, covered in olive oil and kosher salt, oven baked potato, fully loaded. Mm-hmm.
Okay, girl. Reach out to me if you do not feel special. Okay, you know all of my numbers.
You guys know I hate you, right? Pod people, I'm on a juice cleanse right now, and I'm absolutely starving. This is day two of no food, and we're just talking about all this food.
Oh, does being skinny feel better than how good food tastes? Because right now, my ravioli tastes amazing.
Where'd you get your ravioli from?
I'm Kroger. It was actually Kroger brand. It was pretty good. And then I used some Mids Italian sausage spaghetti sauce straight from Canton, Ohio. It was very good. A little bit of Parmesan cheese action. The kids had seconds. That is saying something. When you can get a 9-year-old to have seconds to dinner before they have some Halloween candy, some early Halloween candy, you are doing it right. Ben, how's your water?
It's quite bubbly.
Oh my god.
That's good. That's
you
good.
Know, I do want to say, like, I know that we're talking about this terrible human being, but as far as Halloween and trick-or-treat, I don't want to spend that kind of money on candy. Anybody else?
Are you talking about buying it for the kids that are coming by?
I am shutting my lights
off. I haven't given kids candy, and I don't even know when we have trick-or-treating here. That's how oblivious I am to it.
I'd be afraid if Ben gave me candy. I'm just going to say to all of our friends out there, do not take your child into Ben's neighborhood and accept candy. I mean, I would rather give out quarters, actually cheaper to get like a roll of quarters than it is to get candy.
You might not have heard of this thing called inflation, but if you give a kid a quarter, they're gonna throw it at your eye. I don't even think a dollar would do it. I think you gotta go a minimum five.
That's why I'm gonna turn off my lights today.
No, see, that's why you have kids, is because you it's a transaction, right? We buy the candy and we hand it out to other kids, and then our kids go out and they collect candy from all the other houses and bring it back. And so we end up with the same amount of candy that we purchased, if not
true.
More.
That's
if your
true.
Kids are industrious, if they're workers, if you can get them to really get out there and hustle, you can end up with more candy at the end of the night than you purchased.
Right.
And look, I'm sorry, but, you know, at 9, they're just not good at keeping track of how much candy they have in their bags every night. You know what I mean?
You know what else, too? Like, you can buy cheap candy, and then they can go collect the good shit.
Well, exactly. Right? Here's some more dum-dums.
And they're bringing back, like, whole Kit Kat bars.
Are you calling your children dum-dums?
No, I was saying that's the cheap candy I buy.
Okay. Yeah.
The dum-dums.
Their heads just because.
No. My kids are wonderful.
I appreciate that.
I'm legally obligated to say that.
Huh. Oh, well, there you go.
We don't know if Meacham has kids, right? That would be scary.
I don't know. I think, I couldn't get confirmation on this, but because I've been trying to find it, but I thought that I found that his 2016 charges of third-degree sodomy and third-degree misdemeanor sexual abuse was of a 16-year-old boy.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I don't know that he has any kids. All I know is that he is not leaving prison anytime soon.
Yeah.
The judge did deny his bail. And he is sitting in a jail cell right now.
Well deserved.
Not able to enjoy the virality of his parade achievement.
You know what happened? They rained on his parade.
I hate you.
I don't know.
I absolutely hate you. Right now. Drink your bubbly water and shut up.
If you were a parade, I would drive over you right now.
Oh my god. That seriously.
I think that's it. I think we have to end the episode there.
Oh no, we definitely do, because I mean that was ridiculous, but also in character of that.
So that is Sydney Meacham, everyone. One of the biggest pieces of trash that I've ever encountered who didn't commit a murder. And that's the thing here. Like, you know, he's got the rape and the sodomy charges, and we're not entirely sure about his victims of those, right? But, like, this whole series, this whole crime series, no one is hurt. No one gets hurt at all. But he is the most, one of the most unlikable people I've ever encountered. There is nothing redeeming about this man that I can see.
He's got a bad, bad rap sheet.
Okay, ending thoughts over here is, so I understand that this man did terrible, terrible things his whole entire life. Did he murder someone? No. But he probably ruined multiple children for their lives. So here's my question for you guys. The last podcast that we did, that gentleman actually murdered two women and probably more than that, was selling drugs. Sex trafficking, you name it. And he pretty much got off scot-free. So here's this guy who has road rage, which, I mean, he almost could have murdered people. But are they looking at the fact that he could have almost murdered people, or are they looking at the fact that he has these other charges against him?
One, I would say Vandersloot, it was a different court system. It wasn't the U.S. court system, the Aruba court system. But he is in prison for minimum of 20 years. So he didn't get off scot-free. But his charges were light for everything that he did, correct? But I would say it's the previous charges. I mean, I would say, given the fact this guy has charge after charge, he should... I don't know how he's on the street, given the amount of charges he had prior to this.
And the fact that the grand jury indicted him on all 38 charges, right? That there was nothing like, well, that's stacking the deck a little bit on this guy. Like, he made a mistake, he had a bad day or whatever. They were like, nope, yes, 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 put this man away. And then the judge immediately was like, and no bail. I mean, we've seen murderers sitting at home for years waiting on a trial that we know that they are the murderer, right? And this guy, like, Vandersloot was scary as shit because he was a psychopath, he was a manipulator, and he had resources and the intelligence to do terrible, terrible things over the course of his lifetime.
Yeah, this guy's a dummy.
This guy, I think, is just an awful human being with, like, no brain or no sense of what he's doing. He's just, like, stomping on stuff in front of him.
Yeah.
And we're finally going to see him get put away for a while.
Yeah. I just had an epiphany, by the way. I would almost guarantee you the failure to do the duties of a driver is the charge that they give you when you don't have insurance.
Oh, you might be right. You might be right. Insurance is duty.
Yeah. But, okay, so, I mean, just to touch base, if our pod people want to look up, for example, Colleen McKernan, okay, so she emptied a clip in her husband, the whole entire clip, and she actually only served, I believe it was 4 or 5 years in jail.
Mm.
And then we have a road rager who was also a pedophile, okay, and I'm not discarding that. I am not saying that is, like, not the worst crime ever, because my family has endured that. But I am asking, like, so you have someone else who murdered two people, and they are in different countries, and this, that, and the other. But, like, why are these charges so different? Why is it that I could go out and get a DUI tomorrow, and my charge is probably going to be different than someone I'll stick it to DUI, and I understand the numbers and whatever, but, like, say our numbers are exactly the same. We blow exactly the same. But I could get 2 years, no license. This other person could get, like, 90 days.
No license. A lot of it's what finances you have.
I just want to know, like, I mean, like, I don't understand the court system. So explain it.
It's because there are circumstances around every case that we can argue should or shouldn't have an influence on them, but they do, right? And so this guy probably has nothing, there's nothing redeeming about him that's going to turn the circumstance in his favor at all. And I'm guessing by his history of criminal activity, he probably doesn't have the money to pay for a lawyer who can lessen or get him off of this, right? And so, you know, unfortunately, the criminal system is influenced a lot. A woman who is sympathetic or attractive in some way is going to have a better chance of lessening her sentence or getting off, right? If it's a white victim or a white criminal, their sentence has a chance, is more likely going to be lesser than that minority offender, right? Look at Brock Turner. Yeah. You guys remember Brock Turner, the Stanford swimmer?
Yeah.
Rapist, right? Caught in the act, convicted of raping this woman, and the judge gives him 3 months in jail. And even mourns the fact that he had to give him that and said, I just hope you're not defined by one mistake in your life. You have such a bright future. Fuck off. Right?
Yeah. Or look at, like, Casey Anthony, right? She led the police on a wild goose chase saying, maybe she's here, maybe she's there, you know, and she clearly was lying to the police and she walked.
Right?
Shrilla.
Shrilla got fucking nailed, right? Like,
dude, like, Mackenzie, they're saying that she actually went out there and planned this, and that she murdered two people, or it was a murder-suicide, but, like, they never actually talked about the fact that she had a condition.
Yeah.
Because her boyfriend's mom was an attorney.
Yeah.
And let me tell you that if my mom was an attorney and she knew that the person that I was dating actually said some shit like, I'm going to kill you by driving you into a wall or something like that, don't you know that my mom would be like, you guys are no longer dating. But here's this little girl who's in jail because of it. But, like, I mean, I'm sorry. I just kind of, like, went down a rabbit hole, but I was just kind of trying to point out the fact that, like, this guy is worthless scum, did not murder anyone, had road rage, also molested children, or whatever exactly he did. But he's getting more time than someone that actually murdered someone.
Well, he hasn't been to court yet, right? We don't have a sentence for him yet, correct?
We don't. He's been in jail for, what is it, 5 months now? Yeah. Since June 10th is when he went to jail. So 4 months. And they haven't, they don't have a sentence for him yet. I would imagine that right now, you know, one of the reasons, one of the things the prosecutors will do is they will charge you with everything they can charge you with. They will charge you with everything so that they can stack it all up and say, look at this.
Whatever sticks.
Right? You're never going home unless you cut a deal. Because the thing is, 95 or 96% of convictions aren't even with a jury and a judge. They're done with plea deals. And so you stack the deck against the perpetrator, and then you offer them a plea deal. And so that's what's going to come with this. And that's what, you know, when you're talking about, when you're looking at all of these different levels of justice that people, you know, face for different things, part of it is what kind of plea deal can you get, right? And what kind of circumstances can you point to, right? Well, I have this high-powered attorney. I have this narrative in the media that is on my side. I have these sympathetic elements that I can use to sway a jury, right? And so all of that stuff is going to weigh, you know, on one side of the prosecutor, and the prosecutor has to decide, all right, is it worth it for me to take it to trial and lose? Because if I do that, I'm probably not going to be a prosecutor very long, right? And so if I can get the conviction, doesn't matter how much time they serve, that's still a win in my column, and so I can offer him 10 years with 8 years suspended, right? So they only serve 2 years or something like that. So it's going to be about what this guy has, what leverage he has in whatever negotiations that they have, right? Because they have him dead to rights, and, you know, public sentiment is zero on his side. There's nothing redeeming about anything, because every article that comes out about him is just another, like, oh, hey, guess what this douchebag did this time, you know? And so they're looking back at his life, and it's the life of an irredeemable piece of shit. And so the prosecutors are just, like, just sitting back and waiting, you know? And this guy's fucked. So we'll have to update when the sentencing comes down, and when he is, either when he takes a plea deal, or, like I said, I think one of the reasons that he's not taking plea in, like, the video coming out, right? This video coming out, this isn't him doing it, and it's not his lawyer doing it. It was, I would bet money that somebody in the prosecutor's office tipped off somebody in the news and said, hey, remember that weirdo that drove through the parade? You need to fill out a Freedom of Information Act request and get the video, because it's fucking nuts, right? And so they did, and then that video got disseminated out into the world, and so now the prosecutor has all of the leverage, because he can't argue that, you know, I didn't hurt anyone, and I'm just an innocent little boy who wanted to go see his mommy at the Rose Garden, and no, you're an awful person, and here's all of the... And so now his lawyer is screwed. If I was his lawyer right now, I would be pissed off.
100%.
All right. So, Ben, what do you think?
I know you can't look at that. I mean, they kind of do. You can have, you know, compounding crimes or charges that, or, you know, they obviously are influenced by past offenses, but this guy's such a bad dude. I don't think he deserves out ever, really. I mean, like, whatever they can do to keep him in under control, right?
Right. So, with that in mind, pod people, I think that's it. I think we've discussed Mr. Sidney Meacham enough. If you have any thoughts, please feel free to email us. What's that email address again, Christina?
maliceintendedbks@gmail.com.
Also, if you would, please rate and comment. Give us 5 stars and leave us a nice comment to tell us how we're doing. It helps us find new listeners. We're hoping to expand as much as possible. So leave us 5 stars. Leave us a kind note. And thank you very, very much for listening.
Also, find us on Facebook. Thank you.
Peace out, guys.
Soon to come, Instagram, correct?
Soon to come.
Ben is slacking. That's all you have to know. He's only drinking juice this week, so you'll have to excuse him.
See.
As soon as we can get Ben a sandwich, you'll have a graham toast for him.
Yes, we need sandwiches for Ben. You can send them to all. Joking.
Email us a sandwich at malisintended@bks.gmail.com. All right, well.
Good night, people.
Good night, guys.
Good night, pod people. Thank you very much, and we will see you in the next episode.